वासुदेवायां संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादितरतश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैतवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरस्सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायणो विरहकादरमाजुहवां पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदां धमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशदारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि वाभयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् कृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So Today we will start from the Canto 11, 16th chapter, which is called Vibhuti Yogam, isn't it? It's called Vibhuti Yogam. Vibhuti means Krishna's opulences. Krishna's opulences. Krishna's opulences is spoken in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. You know that there is a chapter in the Bhagavad Gita called Vibhuti Yogam. To Arjuna, Krishna spoke Vibhuti Yogam. Uddhava also, Krishna spoke Vibhuti Yogam. So why is this Vibhuti Yogam so important? What is the significance of this Vibhuti Yogam? This is the first thing we have to understand. Vibhuti, Krishna is saying there that all my opulence, it is only me who is present everywhere. Krishna says that. It's only me who is present everywhere. But unfortunately, in our state, avidya state, avidya means ajnanam or ignorance in the present state where we are today, we cannot see Krishna anywhere, either inside or outside, neither. Because it is like that, Krishna says to us that first thing, then where should I search for Krishna? This question comes. Where should I search for him? Where should I find him? So the answer to that, Krishna himself spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, openly saying to us, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. I am present in everybody's heart, isn't it? That's the first thing Krishna says. In the end of 18th chapter, if you look, you will see this very famous verse. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. I am situated in everybody's heart. We will understand what heart means later. At the moment, if you just take it is here somewhere. If you take it, that much is good. Because all these things, Bhagavad Gita, if you start studying like other books, you will get confused about many things. It is not very straightforward, many things. It's like that. Appear on the surface, it may look so many things. But when you start studying Bhagavad Gita, you have to understand, Krishna has brought Upanishads into one package. That's what it is. Bhagavad Gita is a package of Upanishads. Added to that, Krishna has included Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Kapila Maharshi's Sangyam, and plus Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, everything into it. So that's why it's quite complex book, Bhagavad Gita is. When you deeply go into that, you will see so many things. Anyway, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Now, Krishna says, sarvabhudanam, all living entities. Now, we may say, hriddeshe means our heart, somewhere here it is there. What about amoeba or the small worm? Where is its heart? So, from there itself you can understand that heart, what Krishna is talking about, is not the mechanical heart, what is present in us. It's a different thing. The heart of the elephant, the heart of the tiger, or the heart of the snake, where is that heart? And no scientists have told us the heart of the snake where it is. Or the heart of the worms, where they are. But there also Krishna says, I am there in their heart. Because it says, sarvabhudanam, all living entities. So there itself is an indication to us, the heart is not what we call as the heart. So Krishna is saying, when we discuss Bhagavad Gita later, we will see this heart coming up. It's a completely different understanding what we have about the body, about the mind, about the heart. It's totally different. So anyway, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. I am there in everybody's heart, Krishna says. And then, Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. All living entities in this world are moving and living their life in this world as I turn them around. According to the, under the forces of Maya. Maya is Krishna's agency here, who keeps us all occupied with various activities in this world. So there Krishna has spoken like this, and then immediately after that verse, Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi, Brahmayan sarvabhudani yandrarudhani mayayam. And straight after that, Krishna is also saying something important. That tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata. Then if you understand that Krishna is present there and understand that, that's where you have to surrender. So where to surrender? There you have to surrender. All these things were spoken before Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you see that certain famous verse, that the 1861, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, 1861, you will see this verse, Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam, isn't it? Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam, 1861. Yeah, 18. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Trishtadi. Krishna has said that. That is where Krishna is saying, I am present. At least Krishna is guaranteeing that. Krishna may be or may not be present in the deity. We say that Krishna is present in the deity. But here, Krishna is telling us, I am present there in everybody's heart. It's a guaranteed statement. Deity worship, according to the great devotees, on their request, Krishna may or may not have accepted that place. And also, depends on the way we perform the worship and the services we offer to Krishna and the reception we give to Krishna. Depending on all that, Krishna may decide to accept it or not. That position in the deity. That is the secondary thing. Primarily, Krishna is telling us, I am there in everyone's heart. So, after saying that, very next verse, Krishna is saying, Tameva Sharanam Gacham. Sarvabhavena Bharata Talprasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsasishashwadam. Krishna saying, if you have accepted that, then Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Surrender unto him. Who is in the heart? Who is in the heart? By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Talprasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsasishashwadam. Krishna says, Tal Prasadal, if you have surrendered to Krishna who is within your heart, then Tal Prasadal Param Shandi, by His. So, we are actually in spiritual life driven by Krishna from within. This is the main thing to understand that. Tal Prasadal Param Shandi, when He is pleased inside, you will reach that state of Shandi or peace inside. You'll reach the state of Shandi. Krishna considers Shandi as more important than any other emotions. Any other emotion. It is only in the state of Shandi one can have realization, spiritual realization, not in ecstasy, not in the excited state. Only in Shandi realizations will come to a person. So that's why Krishna says, Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashwadam. That permanent state of peace. That is what the eternal abode Krishna is talking about. That Shandi comes to him when one has surrendered to Krishna, who is situated within his own heart. That is that two verses in the Bhagavad Gita is telling us. So, along with that, then after the few verses, Krishna is saying here that becomes the Sarvadharman Parityajya Mame, the famous verse. Mamegam Sharanam Raja Amtuam Sarova Bebyo Mokshishya Vimashicha. That's all spoken in the 66th verse in the 18th chapter. So Bhagavad Gita is telling us that we should find him there, inside him, inside us. Now, to find him there, the search must begin. How to find Krishna inside the heart, isn't it? That is spiritual life. That is spiritual life. Spiritual life. So till now, in Ekadasha Skandam, what we have discussed so far is that process where you can start the inquiry inside. That is why so many things Krishna has spoken in this canto, isn't it? In the 11th canto, verse after verse, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava how to find him out inside, particularly that 13th chapter. So in 13th chapter, Krishna spoke about this inquiry about the soul. And he also spoke about how to get that inspiration for inquiry from the 12th chapter about Salsangam. So Krishna answered many questions to Uddhava so far. So far, Krishna has answered many questions to Uddhava. There were totally 8 questions Krishna has answered so far. 8 questions Krishna has asked, Uddhava has asked, and they were answered so far. 8 questions. We'll come to that, what they are later, when summarizing this. But here now, what's happening is, Those who cannot do it, of this inquiry, inquiring within of the soul, or go into that process of vichara margam. Vichara margam means how to absorb in the process of self-realization or knowing the self, oneself, what he is. How one cannot proceed in that progress in that path, for them this next chapter is spoken. So Vibhuti Yogam, the background is that. And he says here that those who cannot turn their mind inward, who has great difficulty, that depends on everyone, his case is different. Some people are very inward looking nature. By nature they have that inward looking nature in them. But some others are very external. They can only see from the external things, everything. Everything has to be external for them. Internally there is not much of a hope. So, so because it is like that, Krishna knows that problem. Krishna is saying to us that those who cannot do that, bring the mind internal, even, but ultimately they also have to come to internal. It's not that they can remain in the external platform all the time. Even if their mind runs away, at least Krishna says that you start recognizing me in the world outside. And that is why Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. So if the mind is not going in, if the mind is always looking outside, in other words, that is how we have conditioned ourselves, isn't it? All the time looking at beautiful things. Because why do we say like that? Because that means those who are very much addicted to senses. That's what it means. The senses are the holes in the body. Senses are the holes in the body. Mind finds a channel through that to go out. And when it goes out through the senses, it finds sense objects. And sense objects creates a experience inside that it starts realizing that there is happiness in the world, and that he wants to enjoy that happiness outside. That is what it is, why mind is looking for sense gratification. Because we don't understand the mind, we don't understand the senses, we don't understand the intelligence and the sense objects. Krishna spoke about all that in the 13th chapter, if you remember. Krishna says to them how to separate the mind from the sense objects. That is the main discussion between the four Kumaras and Krishna in the 13th chapter. Krishna came here as the Hamsa incarnation, and he spoke when the question was asked between Brahma and the four Kumaras. Krishna got involved in that and said to Brahma, stay away, I'll explain to them. And there he spoke about how to separate the mind from the sense objects. From the sense objects. What is world? World is nothing but these five senses, isn't it? World is nothing but five senses. We want to see things, we want to hear things, we want to smell things, we want to taste things, and we want to touch things. Except these five things, we are not doing anything in this world. We have some great understanding, we are turning the whole world upside down, or we are doing big, big things in this world. Everybody, right from the United States president, right up to the lowest species, they are all doing these five things only. Nothing different than that. So you can see that when we come to the spiritual life, this thing what we have practiced throughout has become a problem for us. That we find it very difficult to go inward looking. Inward looking becomes a difficult process for us. So Krishna is saying here that those who have that great difficulty of going inward looking nature, for them, let them start somewhere in this world. At least if they are seeing something, let them see my presence there. Let them see my presence there. So with this in mind, Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. This was the purpose behind it. So in this 16th chapter, Krishna will talk about this Vibhuti Yogam. Vibhuti? So in the 16th chapter, Krishna has spoken about Vibhuti. And then after that, what else Krishna has done? In the next two chapters, Varnashrama Dharmam, Krishna spoke about that as well. Because if we are not inward looking, then we need some discipline in this world. Those who are inward looking, for them all this you can leave it. It doesn't matter. Varnashrama Dharmam is not important. What does it matter, this Varnashrama Dharmam? Varnashrama Dharmam is for those who are absorbed in this world to such an extent that they require the training from early days itself to develop some discipline in their life. Dharmam Varnashramanam Shuddhi Padavihidam Tulparatvena Bhaktyakundar Vande Andar Virage Vigasadi Janage Sandeshando Lebhande. That advantage of Varnashrama Dharmam is that Shruti Pada Vihidam. Shruti Vedam talks about that only with this intention that Shruti Pada Tulparatvena Bhaktya Kurvando, it will develop bhakti in the heart. That was the advantage of Varnashrama Dharmam. That is the only goal behind it. But if a person has become inward looking and thoughtful about spiritual life and self-realization, for him Varnashrama Dharmam is not critical. So that is why immediately after that he talked about Varnashrama Dharmam. And in the next chapter, Krishna talked about developing bhakti and the regulatory process of yamam, niyamam, asanam and onwards. And in the 28th chapter, Krishna talks about the three processes of three yoga systems. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. About three of them. And then from another four and then what is known as the Bhikshugita comes after that. Four chapters Krishna took to tell us that if you want to advance in the spiritual path, you have to tolerate this world. There is no other choice. There is no other choice. So to make us understand that, Krishna gave a perfect example of that, the Brahmana of the Avanti Brahmana story, Bhikshugita it is called. So you can see, earlier when we started this canto, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna said, Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu maya veshyamana samyak samadrek vijaraswagam. Krishna said, first thing is that Tondu sarvam parityajya, give up everything, all connection with this world. And what, including what? Sneham svajana bandhushu. So that vairagyam or renunciation, detachment from this world, which is a mandatory, compulsory requirement in spiritual life, especially to understand Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says that give up that connection with this world. To Uddhava, Krishna says the same thing. Sneham svajane bandushu, attachment, attachment, attachment everywhere. Asakti, Krishna uses the word in the Bhagavad Gita. Asakti means this excessive attachment to this world. It's not going to help us because it will drive us out all the time. It won't allow us to go inward looking. What is the truth? So, sneham svajane bandushu. And then Krishna says, my aveshyamana. My aveshyamana. Always, my aveshyamana, how samyak. Samyak means continuously absorbed in me. That is the most important thing. My aveshyamana samyak. And then he says, samadrik. Samadrik means always able to see things in Krishna's presence in everything. And then Krishna says, Vijaraswagam, you can walk through this world. You can walk through this world. So this is how in Krishna talks about spiritual life in this Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there, through the Avadhuta Brahmana, Dattatreya Brahmana story in the Bhagavatam, 24 spiritual masters, Krishna spoke to us about this Vairagyam, how he took advantage by observing in this world different living entities, material elements, so many things, 24 of them. He mentioned, from every one of them, I have learned this lesson. He says there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? The Tatraya Maharshi says, I learned this from Mother Earth, I learned this from fire, I learned this from this water, I learned this from the bird, I learned from this the fish, I learned this from the pingala, the prostitute, I learned from the kapoda birds, all that we discussed in the beginning, before, in the four chapters, the Dattatreya Gita, what is called as the Dattatreya Gita. In this Canto 11, there are four different Gitas coming. Dattatreya Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, and Aila Gita. Four Gita. Aila Gita, Bhikshu Gita, Hamsa Gita, Dattatreya Gita. Four Gitas are discussed in this canto. Of that, we have seen Dattatreya Gita, we have also seen Hamsa Gita, isn't it? Now, we have to go into Bhikshu Gita and Aila Gita, which will come later, the later part of that. So, in these four, through four Gitas, these four things Krishna has talked to us. Tandusarvam paritajya sneham sojanabandushu maya aveshyamana samadrik vijarasvagam. So, all of them, Krishna has to say to Uddhava, Uddhava's last stage. Uddhava is leaving this world. He is leaving this world. And Krishna also knows that. He hasn't got a lot of time. So, whatever that is spoken, that should be perfectly suiting to Uddhava's situation. It was no point in talking to Uddhava about the very basics of spiritual life. Very basics of spiritual life. That stage is gone for Uddhava. That is why Ekadasya Skandam is difficult to understand and at the same time difficult to realize it also in the same way. So, after saying all that, the four chapters Krishna spoke about through Bhikshu Gita that we have to tolerate. There is no other way to go advance in the spiritual life. And then the 27th chapter Krishna spoke about Kriya Yogam or the deity worship process. And then the 28th and 29th, two important topics what Krishna wanted to tell to this world, say to this world. One is jnanam and one is bhakti. Two things. So 28th chapter is jnana yogam and 29th is bhakti yogam. That is Ekadasya Skandam basically. And these two chapters when you study you will see that jnanam and bhakti are not different. They are one and the same thing. But because when we come to Krishna consciousness. First, when we take the book and start reading, we will see everything different. Because our mind is used to thinking everything in blocks, isn't it? In squares. We need to see everything separate. Because it makes easier for us to grasp with the mind. Mind's nature is to measure and to bring it under its capacity. So, because the mind is like that, we have that tendency always to put everything separately. And to understand it with the mind and intelligence. But in spiritual life, unfortunately, that is not practical. That's not practical. There we have to take into account that the influence of the mind and the body we must minimize in our understanding of the Shastram. If you do that, you will understand this principle of bhakti and jnana. Otherwise, it's difficult. You will keep on thinking, I am bhakti, I have nothing to do with jnana. Or I am a jnani, I have nothing to do with bhakti. They are not different. It is spoken in the context that for a person when he comes to spiritual life, he follows according to his own vasanas and nature in him. He will take to a path. Krishna says all the processes are good enough. Nothing is wrong with the process. It is where we, how seriously we take the process, that's more important than anything else. That all these processes are capable of bringing you the truth, bringing you to the truth. Truth means what? What is it to realize who I am? That is the truth, first thing, isn't it? That's what we want to know. That we want to find out, who am I? What is my identity? Well, aham brahmasmi we say, but am I feeling that aham brahmasmi at the moment? All I'm feeling is I am this aham shariram, that's all I know about me. So, because it is like that, jnana margam and bhakti margam, they are not opposing to each other. Sometimes we have this misunderstanding also, like when we take this verse, that in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu also, that jnana karmadi anamrutam anugulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama. People have completely misunderstood that verse. That jnana karmadi anamrutam. That means that I have nothing to do with jnanam, I have nothing to do with karma. I am a bhakta. I don't have anything to do with jnanam and karma. That is not how it has to understand. When we come to understand, jnanam is necessary in the beginning. But later on, at a much advanced stage, jnanam and karma will leave you. You don't have to leave them. They will leave you. That is how it has to be understood. Not that day one, oh, I don't want to know anything about it, it is Jnana Margam, oh, it's nothing to do with me, I am a devotee. If you take that approach, you will remain in that state for the rest of the life. You won't go very far. The way you have to understand is that everything is necessary in the beginning. Karma is necessary, Jnanam is necessary, everything is necessary. At some stage, when you have gone so far in spiritual life, when that pure stage of bhakti, what Rupa Goswami is talking about in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, when you come to that stage, Jnanam Karma will leave you at that stage. There won't be any necessity to cultivate, because you have advanced so far that bhakti has become a reality for you. Parabhakti, or Krishna calls it. Only at that stage, Jnanam Karma will leave you. Otherwise, you won't be able to leave it, even if you want to. You may say, I don't want Jnanam, but somewhere inside somebody is asking, I want to find out more, I want to know more. That inquiry will come from inside. It's very difficult. So these things will depend on a person's state of consciousness, and he will ask this question. Jnanam will come. And similarly, karmam. Can you give up karmam? Can any time can anybody give up karmam? You will never be able to give up karmam. Your vasana will push you to do the karma, even if you want to give it up. What did Krishna say to Arjuna? Arjuna, even if you don't want to fight, you will fight. Because Krishna knows better. Krishna says to Arjuna, inside you, your vasanas as a kshatriya is there very forcefully acting. And they will force you to fight. Is it not? Krishna, did he not say this to Arjuna? Krishna said this to Arjuna, isn't it? So if you stay taking Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and say, oh, because Arjuna was not advanced enough, he did not understand this Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, therefore he could not give up his karmam. It's not like that. Somebody tells you to give up jnanam or tells you to give up karmam, it is not possible. It's not possible. They have to leave you on its own. Because a stage comes in life when you realize that jnanam, karmam, you have come to so far in bhakti state, that parabhakti, what Krishna says there, isn't it? Where does Krishna say? It's in the same Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying there, that, where does he say? It says in that verse, later, in the same 66th chapter, where he says that, Brahmabhuda prasannatma na shojati na kamkshati. That is the 54th verse, 54 in the 18th chapter. Krishna is saying, Brahmabhuda prasannatma na shojati na kamkshati sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labhade param. That is the state when karma and jnanam will leave you. Not before than that. So, Brahmabhuda Prasannatma, 54 verse in the 18th chapter. Brahmabhuda Prasannatma, you have come to the Brahmabhudam state already. And na shojadi, na kankshadi. You are not hankering after anything, you are not lamenting about anything. Then, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, you are already experiencing that realization of Krishna's presence in every living entity. At that stage, you have got that bhakti. Mad bhaktim labhade param. By then, jnanam will leave you. You don't need to then, don't have to acquire knowledge after that. Because we are in our conditioned nature. We are always conditioned. We have to remember that. Because we are always conditioned, we are thinking any book which talks about jnanam, oh, we have to throw it away. It's no use to me. I am a if you look at that way, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, if you whole thing, if you look, there's only one or two chapters you have to read referring to bhakti. Most of it, all the glorifications of Krishna by the great devotee is all jnanam. A lot of jnanam involved in many, right from Kundi Devi, right up to the very end when Markandeya is talking to Lord Shiva, it's a lot of jnanam is spoken everywhere. How can you separate it out? That means you have to reject Bhagavatam then, isn't it? In the strength of that verse. So, when we read books like Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami's book, we also have to think, why did he mention it in this way? At what stage all these things happen? Otherwise, it will confuse us and will also find it a bit difficult. So this, eventually Krishna says, Jnanam on the 28th chapter and Bhakti on the 29th chapter. They go side by side. You cannot separate them out. And so totally in this Bhagavad Uddhava Samvadam, that means Krishna and Uddhava, this discussions, there is 21 questions totally. You can look at it later. In that 21 questions, so far Krishna has answered 8 questions. So now, so in order to start this chapter, Krishna say, Uddhava asking this question to Krishna first. Uddhava's question is, Tvam Brahma Paramam Sakshad Anadyantam Abhavradam Sarvesham Abhibhutanam Tranastitya Payodbhavaha. Tvam Brahma Paramam Sakshad Anadyantam Abhavradam Sarvesham Abhibhavanam Tranastitya Payodbhavaham. Uddhava says, Tvam Anadyantam Abhavradam Paramam Sakshal Brahma Evasi. You are, Krishna, Uddhava says to Krishna, you have no beginning, no end. And you are not covered by any material energy. Maya has no coverage on Krishna. You are that. And you are that Supreme Brahman, Brahman itself. Sarvesham abhibhavanam tanastitya payodbhavaha. Though, in other words, I am asking to somebody who is not covered by Maya, who has neither beginning nor end. Uddhava is establishing Krishna's identity as the Absolute Truth. As the Absolute Truth. We have to see Krishna not purely only as the person standing in front of Uddhava. No. Uddhava is seeing Krishna as the total truth present in front of him in Krishna's form, standing there. So he's saying to Krishna that you are that supreme truth. Sarvesham abhibhavanam tranastitya payod bhava. You are the cause of the origin of all living entities, and they are being protected by you. And they have come from you, they will eventually dissolve in you, and you are the cause of their origin. In other words, we are not separate always from Krishna. Always there is a connect. We came from Krishna, we are maintained by Krishna, and we stay in Krishna. We eventually, when we leave this body, we go back to Krishna. It is no time that we are always independent of Krishna. Independent of Krishna. So, after saying that, Uddhava says, Tvam Brahma Paramam Sakshal Anadyanda Abhavradam. That there is no coverage on Krishna at any time. This is important. Because Krishna, what is Krishna's coverage means? We are always covered. It is this covering that makes us separate from Krishna, isn't it? What is that covering? Covering means coverage of this Maya. Maya's covering. Maya cannot cover Krishna, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, what did Vedavyasa Maharshi say? Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihita omale apashyal purusham purvam mayam cha tadupashrayam. Then Krishna is, when he, in perfect devotion, bhakti, in perfect devotion, bhakti, when Vedavyasa Maharshi looked at Krishna, what did he see? Samyak pranihita omale, pure consciousness, Supreme Personality of Godhead, apashyal purusham purvam, he saw the Purva Purusha, Krishna, standing there, mayam cha tadubhashrayam, maya taking Krishna's shelter, that is how Bhagavadam says about that. So, taking Krishna's shelter, Maya is standing there. Whereas we have taken Maya's shelter. This is the difference. We have taken Maya's shelter. Therefore, Maya is keeping us like this. We are unable to break away from Maya's shelter. That is our our position. So, to understand these very subtle things in spiritual life, and to absorb in that, it's only possible for those who have got control of the mind, who has got the control of the mind. So earlier, Krishna talked about dhyanam, isn't it? Meditation. Meditation we talked about in the earlier chapter, that was in the 14th chapter. Part of that was about meditation, Dhyana Yogam, Krishna has spoken. But that Dhyana Yogam is not easy, we know that. That Dhyana Yogam is not so easy. You can see what all Krishna has spoken there. Step by step he spoke about that, we talked about that before. Because it is difficult, Stula Buddhi means people who have difficulty in practicing that process for their benefit, in which way can they meditate? People like us, who are Stula Buddhi, how to meditate? We can't do that meditation what Krishna has spoken in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as well as in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Both are difficult. As you read through that verses, you will see, which we have talked about before, that where Krishna is saying, meditate upon me in this way, particular way. First thing he talks about is how to sit properly, isn't it? That sitting, control of how to control the body and to sit properly, that itself takes time. Then purification starts beginning, pranayama process, how to control the mind and different modes under control. So many things Krishna has spoken there. So pranayamam, swadhinam, influence of the pranayamam, control of the prana in the body. Those things, we talked about all that, isn't it? And then Krishna also spoke about, after that, after pranayamam is concerned, Krishna starts slowly bringing the meditation process into it. How one should see inside the lotus flower which is hanging downwards. And this lotus flower has to come up and it has to open. In the middle of the lotus flower, you have to see the moonshine. In the middle of the moonshine, you have to see the sun, moon, and inside that the sun. Inside the sun, the four-handed form of the Vishnu with all the different weapons in the hand. And to hold on to that, and then what will happen? Eventually this form will disappear. We talked about all that, if you can remember that. So that process we see very much difficult for people who have their stula buddhi or gross nature, very gross nature. We have to recognize it. We are in that state, gross nature. So therefore, in this chapter, Vibhuti Yogam, Krishna is saying, okay, if you can't meditate upon me with that subtle way, start in a gross level meditating upon me. And that is why this Vibhuti Yogam was spoken. To start from a very, very, very basic level. At least start recognizing Krishna's presence in this world. Even that we don't recognize now at the moment. Isn't it? How many of us recognize Krishna's presence in the world? Even on a gross level, it is difficult. Because somebody has to tell us and remind us all the time, then we will recognize. Krishna says, when you drink rasoham apsuka undeya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdage pavrusham rushu punyo ganda prativyamscha tejas chasmi vibhavasau jivanam sarva bhudeshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu. All these things in the Bhagavad Gita also you will see the same thing. And the same thing Krishna is going to talk now about the very same things again to understand that how to see Krishna in this world outside to begin with. So particularly it is directed towards those who have this Vibhuti was spoken. So the symptoms of Brahmam and the nature of bondage and liberation. These are questions Uddhava has asked before, isn't it? What is Brahmam? Krishna has asked. Uddhava has asked. Krishna spoke about that. And then what is this bondage and liberation? This was another question Uddhava has asked. Krishna answered that also. If you remember, in the 11th canto, 11th chapter begins with that, isn't it? That Arjuna, Uddhava, as far as I am concerned, there is no bondage and there is no liberation. And unless we rise ourselves to that spiritual understanding, when we are conditioned to think in a particular way, that is our great difficulty. To break away from that chain, what we have created within ourselves. And that takes time to become that freedom inside to think in a different way. So when we read books, sometimes we develop some understanding from the books. It's no doubt about that. Only problem is, different people will understand in different way. Depending on their own depth of understanding, their realizations will also be different. So, as much as in spiritual life, if we give up that habit of looking, reading the books and grasping it like that, because that is, people have this misunderstanding that by reading book you will get everything. You won't get it. It won't come. Unfortunately, spiritual life is like that. Otherwise, Krishna could have said to Arjuna, Arjuna, I'll give you a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, you go and read it at home. He didn't do that, did he? He didn't give a copy of Bhagavatam to Uddhava and told Uddhava, Uddhava, here is a copy of the Ekadasha Skandam, take it home. Whenever you have some time, you read it and take it. No, why did they speak? Why did they not? Vedavyas also could have done the same thing. Why he brought this Parikshit and Sudeva Goswami together, wrote this book, and through them brought it to us to make us understand that it is not the process. Process is Shravanam, hearing. Hearing is important. Without hearing, it is not. Because only when you hear, you will see a change the way you accept things. It will not be the same way you accept the book. You accept the book. Go on, Prabhu.
No printing press was there.
Sorry?
No printing press was there. That's why.
Oh, that is a misunderstanding again. That those people in them days, they were personalities, they didn't need a book. They were called Egasandhigrahi. Egasandhigrahi means, without the books, if something was spoken anywhere, anytime, it will stay. It will stay in their head. And Krishna particularly, you can see, Vedavyas brought Krishna and Arjuna together in the battlefield. Much early, many years have passed before that between Krishna and Arjuna together. When they were playing when they used to go for a walk together, they have slept in the same room, they have spoken, they spent together as friends years and years before speaking Bhagavad Gita. Krishna could have spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna at that time. Why did he not do that? He waited for the right time when Arjuna is ready for it. And Krishna also felt that there is a relationship between Krishna and Arjuna to develop before Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Before that, it could not have spoken. And you can see that also later, when Arjuna asked Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says no. Right at this moment, our relationship is not proper. That I can't tell, that Arjuna who heard Bhagavad Gita earlier does not exist now. And that Krishna who spoke Bhagavad Gita at that time is not there at the moment, he said. This is how, when did this happen? After Mahabharata war was over, they were comfortable with everything in the world. Practically the life was easy for them, for Pandavas. And one day after their afternoon tea or whatever, you say, they went out for a walk. And Arjuna is asking Krishna, tell me that Bhagavad Gita, what you spoke to me in the battlefield. Krishna says, no, I can't tell you that now, because you are not there, that same Arjuna is not there. So only in specific situations, if it is spoken, it will have its effect. This is an important point. So whatever it is, that the reason is that is why Shravanam, 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 keep on stressing this in the Bhagavadam, as well as in the other Puranas also, that Upanishads is all Shravanam, isn't it? Upanishads is all Shravanam. We think that this printing press and invention is a big thing in life, isn't it? There were so many other alternative technologies also, what they could if they wanted to have that. But Upanishads were all spoken and they were heard. And even it has come into the book form only in the recent times. Prior to that, and all the Upanishad mantras, which were present at that time, they are still present today in the world. When they received the Upanishads, they didn't receive in the book form either. Who? The great sages. Yajnavalkya, Vishwamitra, Bhrigu. All those great personalities, when they received Upanishads, they didn't receive in the book form all revelations to them. Similarly, spiritual life is always revelations. It's revealed unto you from inside. Krishna reveals everything to a devotee. Krishna reveals everything to a jnani. It is not revealed through the book. It does not mean that you shouldn't read the book. That's not what it means. What it means to say is that even though you may read the book, to understand what Krishna is saying there, sometimes you need to hear also. Sharanam is necessary. So here, that Krishna talked about bandham and mukti, bondage and liberation. Then Krishna also spoke about pure bhakti, pure devotion. After that, Krishna spoke about vidhi nishedam, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And yogam, different yoga processes. And bhakti yogam, dhyana yogam, Krishna spoke earlier. And Krishna also said how perform these different different processes in the dhyana yogam in such a way that it will develop into siddhi. It will develop into siddhi. How to perform dharana, different kinds of dharana. So Krishna spoke about dhyanam and then Krishna spoke about dharana as well. So through the dharana process, how different siddhis comes to a person, and with that the 8 questions Krishna's answers to Uddhava. So it is then that Krishna told Uddhava, I am present in everyone inside and outside. Krishna says there, I am present in everyone inside and outside. At that time Uddhava got confused. Uddhava got confused. Why? Because Uddhava's question was, among all the living entities in this world, some living entities are on a higher level, some of them are on a lower level, isn't it? We know that. Some living entities on a higher level and some are on a lower level. That is why some of them you find more developed. They have all the senses, 5 senses, intelligence, mind, everything. So naturally they are on a higher level. Demigods, still higher level than the human species, higher mode of goodness. And normally when they classify, they into 3 categories. The demigods, mode of goodness. In the human level, mixture of 3 modes. And in the asuras, in the demoniac nature, there is more in the lower planets. Higher planets, lower planets, and the middle planetary system. We are in the middle planetary system, where the mixture. We have both goodness and also the demoniac nature in us, both. In the demigods, there is only goodness in them, predominates them. There is no demoniac nature in them. We have both biased nature and the demoniac nature, both. And in the asuras, there is only demoniac nature. This is how the 3 planetary systems are categorized. Planetary systems categorized. But here, in this earth also, among there is variation. Among the human species, if you take, there is people who have higher understanding of life and better control of mind and senses and higher goals in life. And there are people who are very lower goals in life, just want to eat and sleep in this world. So there itself you can see the difference in the human species. Plus, all other living entities, if you take, who are not in the human body, in the animal's body, and in the worm's body, bird's body, insect's body, there also you will find variation. Their capabilities are different, isn't it? Some animals are very much hogs and all, very much in the mode of ignorance, completely. And some other animals are better situated. Cow is in a better situation. Although in a cow's body, there is more goodness in the animal. Birds have a higher capability. They can fly. They have been given certain vibhuti. That's their vibhuti, that they could fly in this world. They don't have to develop the technology like we have to develop to fly. They can fly without that. So nature itself has made this variation in the different species. On its own, they have made this variation already. So, and it is quite possible, Uddhava's question was, it's quite possible, because they are all in different category, isn't that... He's asking Krishna that you are present in all of them according to their capability. Is that why they are different? That your presence in them is different. Is there a difference there? That is the Uddhava's question to Krishna. That because Vibhuti Yogam was spoken for this reason, Then Uddhava misunderstood that in all the different species in this creation, is there Krishna's presence different because of their what we find the difference in them through our perception. So, how do I understand that I am thinking that in some places Krishna is present more, like we may say Krishna is present more in the elephant, but very little in the mosquito, based on the size of it, isn't it? You can think like that. Is it like that? That is Uddhava's question to Krishna. So, that is because Krishna says, Aham alpa guna kesha sarvabhudashaya sthida, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, that is Krishna's statement. I am the soul of everyone. I am the soul of everyone. And I am in everyone. I am in everyone. Sarvabhudashaya sthida. Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhudanam antamevacha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end of everything. All living entities. He says there. Isn't it? Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhudanam antamevacha. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse. So, all these things keeping in mind, Uddhava has asked this question, how do I understand your presence in different living entities? So, as far as you are concerned, you are the absolute truth. Uddhava is saying, I see you as the absolute truth. For you, there is no coverage, there is no dependence. You are totally independent. And you have no covering on you, neither birth nor death. And all this appearance of all the living entities, their birth, their sustenance and their death, their giving up the body, is all happening within you. That is the most important thing. You see, here you can see, Uddhava is not separating Brahman and Krishna here. All these things are happening in Brahman, isn't it? Our appearance, we get this body. Where do we get this body? Within the background of Brahman, isn't it? Brahman is the what is really existing. And there we experience this body, and this body will drop one day. And then what happens? We are still Brahman. Inside there is Brahman that is present in everyone. So, it is in that question that everything is dependent on you, and if it is like that, how do I understand your presence in everywhere? This was Uddhava, this is the very background of this Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga has come from this, from these doubts in Uddhava's mind. That is why he said, Tum Brahma Paramam Sakshal Anadyandam Abhavridam Sarvesham Abhibhavanam Tranastityapayodbhavam. Then, in the next verse he says, Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu Durnyeyam Agradalmabhi Ubhasadetvam Bhagavan Yathatathyena Brahmanaham. Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu Durnyeyam Agradalmabhi Ubhasadetvam Bhagavan Yathatathyena Brahmanaham. Says, then, Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu. Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu means that Ulkrishtana Krishnam, that means higher and lower. Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu means higher and lower. Krishna says, Brahmana Agradalmabi Durnyayam Tvam Uchavajeshu Bhudeshu Yadha Tathyena Upasate. One who knows the truth, who knows the essence of Vedam, and who try to understand Krishna, who cannot be understood by those who are not pure inside, who are not pure inside, they see you present in everyone, whether it is higher or lower. Whether all the living entities, we may see them as higher or lower, those who knows the science of Krishna, they will see Krishna's presence in everybody. In our nature, we won't see Krishna's presence in every living entity. Only in the higher personalities we will see. In the lower things, we won't notice it. But those who know the essence of the Vedas, they will accept Krishna's presence in every living entity. Krishna's statement is very clear on this. If you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, you will notice Krishna is saying, no, it is not like that. Krishna says, Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni jaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. Krishna says a learned person sees me everywhere, not only higher and lower. It doesn't exist for him. What? Because he is learned, he will see me whether he is a dog, dog eater, A learned Brahmana, elephant, and Brahmane, Gavi, Hastini, cow, and Shuni, dog, Shabageja, dog, it doesn't matter, he will see me everywhere. Krishna said that. In the Agasya Skandam, Krishna says, Praname Dandavad Bhumam Ashwa Chandala Ghogaram. He says, pay your obeisances to, like a rod, you fall in front of all living entities. Dandavad Bhumam Ashwa Chandala Ghogaram. Shava dog. Chandala dog eater. Go cow, karam, donkey. Pay your obeisances to them. So from Krishna's side, he has not discriminated. The discrimination came from us. We discriminated. We started seeing, because of our conditioned nature, we started thinking, is Krishna, oh, this amoeba, or it's a single cell living entity. Why we should take very serious note of him? After all, it's only a simple worm. Why? Because we cannot see Krishna there. Whereas if somebody tells you that Krishna is present in this great realized soul, jnani, or a great devotee, then you, automatically you will accept that he is, or Krishna is present in that person. But that is in our state, we look at it like that. Krishna's position, Krishna is not looking at it like that. Krishna is saying in everyone, that is a statement from Krishna, that uchavajeshu bhudeshu durjnyayam agradalmabhi. He says, durjnyayam, it is difficult for us to see Krishna in all these things. Uchavajeshu bhudeshu. Upasadetvam bhagavan yadha tadhyena brahmanaha. That, yadha tadhyena upasade. That Brahmana, who have studied Vedam and who have come to realizations, he will not look at living entities anymore in that way. He will see that Krishna is present in the all living entities. And that is how they will see other living entities. And after saying that, Krishna says here that unless inside is pure, it is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. This way of looking at things won't change in us. It won't change till inside is pure. So, and only those who have studied Vedam properly and who have realized this, they will come to that understanding. Till then, it won't come understanding. You can see that in this world, always. No matter how much we say we are all equal, 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 it will never happen equal. There's always higher and lower in everything, isn't it? Strong countries will bully the weak countries. It is natural. It's always like that. So, and the strong countries will say, oh, we are all equal. But when it comes to their own interest, they will bully the lower ones. So that bullying nature is in everybody. Why? Because this uchanijatvam is there, higher and lower. That's why bullying coming from, isn't it? It starts in the school itself. And it goes right up to living this world. Rich man will bully the poor man. Big rich businessman will bully the weak elements in the society. They will always have that strength. Why? Because uchavajeshu bhudeshu. He is only seeing somebody is stronger, somebody is weaker. So this uchanijatvam, higher and lower, is in our eyes. It is not in Krishna's eyes. So Krishna, but Krishna is saying, those who have studied Vedam and those who have reached that state of realization, they won't do that. That is why in Vedic culture, Brahmanas were given this higher position. Why? Knowledge is there inside and they will never exploit others. This was the understanding. Exploitation for a Brahmana is the worst thing to do in this world, to exploit others. So because it's like that, they were given the all the respect because of that freedom from that ucha nijeshatvam, that freedom from that. Uchavajeshu bhudeshu durjnyayam agradalmabhi upasadetvam bhagavan yadha tathena brahmanaha. The brahmana's nature is like that. That is why Krishna is saying here. Now, after that, Uddhava says to him, how should I see this world? How should I see this world so that I will develop bhakti in the same way? Because this is symptoms of a devotee, isn't it? That is why bhakti is like that, that he does not see anymore somebody is higher, somebody is lower. All these things has to be given up at some stage in life. In institution, what will happen? institution will bring its own up and down, higher and lower. You have left one higher and lower here, and there institution imposes on you something else higher and lower. Again, you are falling into the same trap. Into the same trap. And if you are very much addicted to that in material life, that same tendency will develop in the institution also. It is not possible because there is no knowledge there. There is no proper understanding why we are doing all these things. That understanding is not there. And we simply get victimized by that. So, yeshu yeshu jabhaveshu bhaktyatvam paramarshayam upasina prabadhyande samsiddhim tadvadaswami. Uddhava says, yeshu yeshu jabhaveshu bhaktyatvam paramarshaya upasina prabadhyande samsiddhim tadvadaswami. Paramarshayaha yeshu yeshu bhaveshu tvam bhaktyam upasina samsiddhim prabadhyande tatmai vadaswaha. He says, great sages, in which form did they worship you, and then they became perfect in their spiritual life? This is the question. That yeshu yeshu ja bhaveshu, in which form did they worship you so that and they became perfect in their spiritual life? This was Uddhava's question. And which practically Uddhava is asking the vibhuti, Krishna's vibhuti in this question. Then let me know, how did they worship you? In which form did they worship you? So that, and then answer, gudascharasi bhudalma bhudanam bhudabhavana natvam pashyandi bhudani pashyandam mohidani tem. Then, gudascharasi bhudalma bhudanam bhudabhavana. Uddhava keep reminding also that gudascharasi bhudalma, present in everyone in a very gudam means in a very confidential way. Krishna is present in everyone, in the heart, isn't it? He bhudabhavana bhudalma tvam bhudanam madhi gudaha. Then you are andaryami in everyone's heart, isn't it? And you are moving in everyone along with them in a hidden way. When we are moving, Krishna is also moving inside us, isn't it? Krishna is moving along with us wherever we go. Krishna is also moving with us. And nobody is clear about Krishna's presence inside. Te mohidani edani bhudani pashyandam tvam na pashyandi. So, this is important thing. Tvam te mohidani etani bhutani. All these living entities who have fallen in, victimized by this maya or by the illusion, te mohidani etani bhutani pashyandam tvam na pashyandi. They are seeing everybody, but they don't see you. Pashyandam tvam na pashyandi. Pashyandam tvam na pashyandi. They are seeing everybody. We all see each other, but we don't see Krishna who is inside you, Krishna is inside somebody else. That we don't see. Uddhava's point is like that. Uddhava is saying this, that it is like that, is it not? Uddhava is saying to Krishna, you are moving with everyone. Krishna is moving with us all the time, wherever we go. And whenever we see each other on the body, but we don't see Krishna who is present inside, who is present in everyone. That we don't see. So, we are not seeing gudascharasi bhudalma bhudanam bhudabhavana, he says. So, so this thing, this illusion, is called moham, delusion, or maya moham, maya's power. Maya, not allowing us to see Krishna in anyone, to see Krishna anywhere. Krishna is hiding from us like this. He is present everywhere in everyone, but never able to see him. So he says, Yakascha bhumau divi vairasayam vibhudayo dikshu maha vibhudem tam ahyam akhyam anubhavidaste namamide tirthapadangripatmam. Yakascha bhumau divi vairasayam vibhudayo dikshu maha vibhudem tam ahyam akhyam anubhavidaste namamide tirthapadangripatmam. Uddhava says to Krishna, Ya kasya bhumau divivai rasayam, that in your present state, that your vibhuti, your opulences are unlimited. Your opulences are unlimited. That, he mahavibhude, calling Krishna as mahavibhudi. Krishna's opulences are unlimited. And, bhumau divirasayam dishuchaya. That, wherever you go in look, not only in this earth or in the heavenly planets, including the lower planet, rasatalam, atalam, talatalam, padalam, all that lower planetary systems also, there also Krishna's vibhudis are present. Opulences are present there. And those vibhudis are powerful by Krishna's presence in there. And can you reveal them, talk to me about them? And I pray my obeisances to you for that. This is how Uddhava is asking Krishna. Uddhava had a lot of experience with Krishna, isn't it? 112 years with Krishna. Uddhava has understood what is Krishna is, what Krishna. That's why in the beginning of this Ekadasha Skandam, when they started talking, first thing, the way Uddhava addressed Krishna was Yogeshwareshwara. He's called as Yogeshwareshwara. Yogascha, Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Sambhava, so many things, one after the other. In other words, master of everything. Master of everything. He is not, Uddhava is not seeing Krishna simply on a platform of the body. He is seeing that, that who is standing right in front of me, his position, Uddhava is recognizing. Yogesha yoga vinyasa, yogalma yoga sambhava. We saw that in the beginning of the 7th chapter, when Uddhava is seeing Krishna. Yogesha yoga vinyasa, yogalma yoga sambhava. All the yogam has come from Krishna. All the controller of all the yogam is Krishna. All the great yogis who wants to realize this yoga siddhi, they come to Krishna. So, yogesha yoga vinyasa yogalma yoga sambhava. And all the yoga siddhi, the soul of yoga siddhi is Krishna. So, everywhere if you look, all the yogam is is coming from Krishna. Is coming from Krishna. So that is why he says here, Yakasya bhumo divivai rasayam vibhudayo dikshu mahavibhude. Your vibhudi, mahavibhudi. Mahavibhudi means vibhudi, and among the vibhudi, greatest ones. The greatest vibhudi of all. When Brahma, in the 8th canto, you will see in the Bhagavadam, after the Brahma's prayers to Krishna, verse after verse addressing him as Mahavibhudi, Mahavibhudi, Mahavibhudi. So, first thing when glorifying Krishna is to recognize what is Krishna's position. What is Krishna's position? So, when you see that, you can see how Uddhava, Brahma and any others, they will first talk about Krishna's Vibhudi. Krishna's Vibhudi. Tamahyamakhya hyanubhavidaste namamide tirthapadangripatmam. So, Uddhava is requesting Krishna that Tirthapadhangri Padmam, that your lotus feet is the shelter of everybody. Lord, is the shelter of everybody. Why the lotus feet is given more important than anything else in the body, Krishna's body? Always we talk about Krishna's lotus feet, isn't it? We talk about Krishna's lotus feet. Lotus feet is the to say like that is to show the humility of a devotee. Humility of a... Why? Lotus feet is the lowest part of Krishna's body. Isn't it? Lotus feet is Krishna's lowest part of the body. So, even to glorify that lotus feet means that you are taking a very humble position there. That I want to take shelter of that lotus feet, we say. Krishna's lotus feet. And all parts of Krishna's body are important. But lotus feet is given particularly importance because for a devotee, shelter is at the lotus feet. That if you give me shelter at your lotus feet, all great devotees will say this to Krishna. So, Tirtha Padangri Padmam, he says. Tirtha Padangri Padmam. That lotus feet is the place for the devotee's shelter. That lotus feet is a place for a shelter for the jnanis. That lotus feet is the shelter for the yogis. All of them take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore it is spoken like that. So after Uddhava raised this question with this background in his mind, he raised this question, Krishna starts answering those questions now from the next verse onwards. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Evam medadaham prashna prashnam prashnavidam vara yulsana vinashane sabatnai arjune navai. Evam medadaham prashna prashnam prashnavidam vara yulsana vinashane sabatnai arjune navai. Then, it is at this time Krishna felt that the question Uddhava was asking was very much similar to what Arjuna has asked in the in Kurukshetra. The same similar questions he has sabatnai arjuneinavai. Arjuna has asked me the same question when he was ready to fight the war. When he was ready to fight the war. In Kurukshetra, yuyulsana vinashane sabatnai arjuneinavai. There also, Arjuna has asked me this question before, and I have answered Arjuna this question. So, because he has asked me that question, I can answer you without much of a change. I'll answer back the same thing. I'll repeat now. That's why it is spoken like that. Prashna vidam vara vinashane sabatnai yulsana arjunena edat prashnamaham prashna. So here from now, you will see one important thing. Krishna is saying, Arjuna had come to battlefield to fight the war, isn't it? One who has come to fight the war, why should he ask about Krishna's opulences? What connection has it got? This is an interesting point, isn't it? Arjuna had to fight the war. Arjuna's problem was he couldn't fight the war. But then why should Arjuna ask Krishna's opulences in the battlefield? That was not the time to ask about the opulences. When we have to go and fight the war, in the war, if I go and ask you, how much bank balance have you got in the war battlefield, it doesn't make any sense, does it? So in the same way, why did Arjuna ask that question? And that is why Krishna is answering there, that what was the state of mind with Arjuna's mind at that time? That is first thing Krishna is saying to Uddhava. In which state of mind these questions were raised in the battlefield? In the battlefield. That is that next verse. Jñātvām jñātivadham garhyam adharmam rajyahedukam tato nivṛttoham dāham hatoyam iti laukikāḥ. Jñātvām jñātivadham garhyam adharmam rajyahedukam tato nivṛttoham dāham gandhoyam hatoyam iti laukikāḥ. Krishna calls Arjuna as laukikan. Laukikan means what? Materialist. Krishna is saying Arjuna, who was a materialist, is calling Arjuna as a materialist. Like a materialist, materialist thoughts were in Arjuna's mind at that time. Laukikan means practically a materialist, what we call as a conditioned soul or a karmi, or whatever we want to call, whichever you want to call it. So that's all this Arjuna, that's how he is called. Jñātvā jñādivadam garhyam rājyahedukam jñādivadam adharmam garhyam. Then Arjuna thought that killing his family members is irreligious, thought Arjuna. Arjuna thought like that. For the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of kingdom, killing the family members is very despicable, very bad thing to do. Adharmam, rajyahedukam. And tato nivrto handaham hatoyam iti laukikam. Then, because there, Krishna says, Arjuna thought, I am killing him and they are getting killed. Two things was in Arjuna's mind. Isn't it? I am killing him and he is getting killed. When these two thoughts are in anybody's mind, he is a laukika. He is a materialist. He's not spiritual. He is materialist. I am killing somebody and he is getting killed. If these two things are happening, in anyone, he should be... This is why Bhagavad Gita, we must drink it actually to depth. Otherwise, all this won't make sense. What did Krishna say in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita? Nasade vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sada, ubhayor abhidrishtvandam, stanayor tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshi, one who has realized the truth, he knows that you can't kill anyone. You can't kill anybody. It is not possible. Because sat, what is sat, will always remain. It cannot be killed. And what is asat, it has no sat in there. So sat and asat, that is why that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is so important. Nasade vidyade bhavo. Krishna is quoting tattvadarshibhi, Upanishad sages. Krishna is saying, he says, they have already found out this truth. What is that? The person, na asade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Asat has no reality. Asat has no reality. It has no existence. Body is asat. Mind is asat. Intelligence is asat. World is asat. This is all asat. Asat has no reality. This is the first lesson in the Bhagavad Gita. Na asade vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. What is sat? It has always existence. You cannot take it out from that. You cannot, from that very thing, Krishna has established the truth to tell us the soul is, can never be killed. Can never be killed. There is no question of killing anyone. You can kill a body, but you cannot kill the person, the soul inside, who is the person. So this understanding was not there in Arjuna at that time, when he asked the question. That's why Krishna is calling him as Laugigan, materialist. Materialist people are thinking like that, isn't it? It is from there all this fear has developed in us. Somebody is going to kill me, I'm going to die, all these things. And Bhagavatam was spoken to clarify this point to us. There is no such thing called death. There is no such thing called death. Till we realize it, this fear will always be there inside. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen day after tomorrow? There is no such thing called death. That is the point Krishna is making there. Nasado vidyade, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam. That both these sides, both sides, the sages have weighed it up very well and they have understood tanayor, tanayor, tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshibhi means one who has realized the truth, they have come to these firm conclusions. They have come to the firm conclusion. So because Arjuna did not recognize this in the battlefield of Kurukshetram, Arjuna thought that I am going to kill them and they are going to get killed, and he refrained from fighting the battle, and therefore I had to speak vibhutis to him. It was in the background of that, because I had to make Arjuna understand what his position is in this world. Satada purushavyakro yuktyame pradibodhitaham abhyabhashatamamevam yathatvam ranamurdhanim. Tadasa purushavyakro yuktyame pradibodhita abhyabhashatamamevam yathatvam ranamurdhanim. Tadasa purushavyakra yuktyame pradibhodida san yathatvam tatha ranamurdhini mameva abhrubhashadam. At that point, when Arjuna fell into that crisis, what did he do? He is purushavyakra. On the one hand, Krishna says Arjuna is a materialist, laugigan. On the other hand, he says he is purushavyakram. Vyakra means he is a lion among the men. Lion. Arjuna was a very powerful personality. But because just like you have asked me, he has also asked me in the same way. In the same way, he has asked me this question. And I will answer the same question now to you, just the way I have answered Arjuna. So basically, before Krishna is talking about Vibhuti Yogam, Krishna is saying to Uddhava that it is in the background of all these things, this question came up from Arjuna. Although he was a Laugiyam, in other words, he didn't have the knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying. Instead of saying, Krishna uses the word 3 or 4 times in Bhagavad Gita, Mootha. You know that word, Mootha? Everybody likes that word, isn't it? Somebody tells you, you're a Mootha. People like it very much. Because that is the truth, isn't it? It's telling the truth. In 3 or 4 places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses this word mudha. And we shouldn't take that mudha strictly in the sense that mudha generally when we call, it is not in the same way Krishna is calling us mudha. Krishna is calling us mudha. All the acharyas will call us mudha. They call us mudha not because that we are idiots in living in this world. They call us mudha. They are given Krishna. Their point is, Krishna has given you a human body. Instead of utilizing it for self-realization and knowing the truth, engage in sense gratification. Therefore, we are mudha. Therefore, we are mudha. All the acharyas have called us mudha. Nobody is exception to that. Every one of them called us mudha. Krishna is the master at it. 3 or 4 times he has called us mudha. Bhajagovindam prayers, you know. Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhaja, Mudhamate. Mudhamate means whose intelligence is mudha. Mudha. Mudhatum. This is the mudhatum. Maudhyam, the word. Maudhyam means this, that all opportunities are given for self-realization and to escape from this cycle of birth and death. But won't you do it? Go and do everything else in this world. Therefore, we are mudha. That's the reason for that. That why they are calling us mudha. There is no other personal enmity towards me or to you, to anyone. Krishna has no enmity towards us. Because we are like that, and the whole society is like that, Krishna says mudha. So, mudha means this, that all opportunity has been given to know the truth. And in this state, in this and body has been given, Krishna is saying, that lebdhva sudurlabhamadam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha. That lebdhva sudurlabhamidam, after many lifetimes, bahu sambhavande, many things have happened in our previous lifetimes. So many things have happened, isn't it? Lebdhva sudurlabhamidam. And we have gone through different bodies, is it not? We have gone. It is not a joke to say that we have gone through different bodies. How do we know? All that vasana we have picked up in each body is still there in us, is it not? Sometimes people say, you're a black snake, they say. Nothing wrong in that. I was a snake and the snake nature has followed me. What can I do? Is it not? Somebody says, you are a wild person, tiger. Yes, it's true. Lion, yes, it's also there. Every vasana of all the animals, birds, species, everything, it is that same vasana that is pushing, when it is very strong, to develop this aeroplane technology to go underneath the sea. Why they are after this, going so deep into the sea? What is there so much to look at? And they'll go there and bring some garbage from there, and then they will hang it up in the eyes, ears, everywhere, and say, oh, do I look beautiful? This is oceanography, or what do they call it, in the underneath the sea. They're willing to risk their life to go so deep into the sea, isn't it? Fine. That is not a place for us to live. There are other living entities living there. Let them live peacefully. We won't leave them, no. We'll go there and find out what's going on here. This is mudhatvam. The time is so precious in life, and it's been given a very short time in life you can utilize for spiritual life. Practically, first 20, 30 years is gone in childhood, playing everything. Youth is spent in all so many sense gratification. Old age, you are not able to do anything. So practically, what is left in life? 10 or 15 years time, are the very best if you got it. And even there, so many other burden comes on your head and take away everything. So even giving all that, lebdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande, that is that bahusambhavande means. Bahusambhavande means this, that going through different bodies, that is like bahusambhavam. Bahusambhavam. Many times it has happened, isn't it? In the body of an elephant, in the body of a cat, in the body of a dog. We don't know all different bodies what we have taken. All we know is that from different bodies, different vasanas have come with us in this body. That is very much there. That sometimes you can see, we say, dogish mentality, we say, isn't it? Why do we say like that? Because the behavior is like a dog, what can you do? So he is a dogish nature. That dog vasana has followed him. Similarly, sometimes we say somebody is working all the time, 24 hours, work. It's ass-like mentality, we say. So where did that come from? That is from the ass body. It's followed him. That is that. You can't deny all these things. There's ample proof. If you look into our own life, you can see that vasana, the different impressions and propensities, how that has followed us in our subtle body, came to us. Otherwise, why is that one person love to work all the time? Another person don't want to do anything in this world. Totally opposite. He says, I had enough of this, he says. Another person, he wants to work. And even though he's working very hard, if you ask him why you are working, he doesn't know why he's working for. He has no answer to that. People after retirement, 65, 70, whatever government says, even after that, people are saying, why don't we raise it a little bit more so we can work a few more years after that. This is the moodham. This is why we are called moodha. Moodhas think like this. It is only moodhatvam in us. It doesn't matter whether there may be big parliaments of houses of making big decisions on all these things. You may think they are all intelligent people, but when it comes to spiritual life and Krishna's judgment, they're all moodha. So anyway, lebdhva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavande manushyam. Human body has been given after a lot of this different life in different bodies. Manushyam arthadam. There is something you can do here in this body. Anityam abhihadhiraham. And that body what we have got is temporary. It's not a very permanent thing either. Very temporary life. How many years we have got in this body for spiritual life is questionable, isn't it? Practically you can see the problems what we get through. First of all, to feel inspired for spiritual life is the biggest thing. Even though you got a human body, even though you got health, still to get some inspiration for spiritual life is very difficult. Because there is so many distractions in this world. Arthadam. And even if you get inspired to come to spiritual life, there is also a lot of distractions in spiritual world also. In the spiritual life also. And there are so many people saying so many different things and confusion, reading so many books. And in the middle of all that, you have to maintain this body as well in this world. So, manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhiraha. Krishna says that person is very courageous who weighed up all these things in life and decided himself that I want to realize the truth here, right now, before I lose this opportunity given to me. So that is why anitya dhiraha turnam padet yapadet anivurti aval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. That this body will fall. One day it will fall. So na padet anivurti aval. But before that fall happens, before this body drops away, if you can use it for your ultimate benefit means what? Self-realization, knowing the self, releasing from this cycle of birth and death. That is the goal. Nishreyasaya, instead, vishayaghalu sarvatasyal, instead, engage in sense gratification. Sarvatasyal vishayaghalu. Vishayam alone is the happiness in this world. People have made that decision. That is basically, Krishna has only one thing to tell us. Human life has been given for this purpose. If you abuse it, you are a moodha. That is the point. So, Krishna's statement is very consistent everywhere. All through Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one thing to tell us. Very consistently, Krishna is saying this. If you have not realized this truth, self-realized, yourself from this cycle of birth and death in this life, you have lost that chance. You have lost it. Then, when you will get it again, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Just to make us aware the seriousness of human life and the opportunity that Krishna has given to us. That is why this word moodha, in the same context, in the same way, Krishna has so few times in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, Ajaya Swami says about moodha calls us. All Ajayas are saying like the same thing. It is only because of this that everything given but not taking advantage of it. Thinking that I've got something else to do in this world, much more important, all these things, isn't it? So that's why. Eva me jnatva sadana purushan vyakaro yukti me pradibhoditam abhyabhashanamam evam yathatvam renamurdhani tadasa purushan vyakra yukti me prabhoditaha
Yathatvam tatha ranam urdhani maam evam abhivashanam. So, like the way you have asked me, Krishna is saying, like the way you have asked me, Uddhava has asked Krishna, in the same way, Arjuna has asked me the same question, he says. And now Krishna is going to talk about that opulences in this background. In this background. When Arjuna raised this question to Krishna, when Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, so first thing, what did Krishna do? Krishna wanted, made it very clear to Arjuna that you have no knowledge. That's the first thing he said, isn't it? Ashochyan anashochastvam prajnavadamsya
gadasuna gada agadasunsya nanishochandi panditaha. Learned people won't talk like this. Basically, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that you are not learned. Instead of saying directly to Arjuna, you are not learned, Krishna says it like this. What? That ashochyan anushochastvam. That you are lamenting about someone and also at the same time, you are talking big, big things. Remember, Arjuna spoke big, many big things in the beginning. Arjuna Vishada Yogam is all this Pratyavadam, Pratyavadam Shabhashase. That is the Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Arjuna is saying, oh, they are all my relatives, they are all my teachers, and how can I kill them? How can I create confusion, chaos in the society? The women will be left without husbands, the parents, the children will be left without parents. Arjuna's compassion coming out. So all the after hearing, Krishna had to tolerate all these things, rubbish what was coming from Arjuna. So Krishna is saying after that, Krishna only starts talking in the second chapter. You know that. In the second chapter only, Krishna starts speaking. Up to that time, he was just listening everything and smiling, seeing Arjuna's knowledge, great depth of knowledge, philosophy, Arjuna's philosophy. So, ashochyan anyashochastvam, that what is worthwhile lamenting about, it's not worthwhile you are lamenting about that. What's not worthwhile, you are lamenting about that. Pratyavadamsya bhashase. But at the same time, you pose yourself as though you are very learned. Isn't it? Gadasuna gadasumscha. Intelligent person who has knowledge, he does not care about coming and going. That's the point. Coming and going is not an issue for him. People will come to this world, people will leave this world. Do you lament? We lament about it, isn't it? Oh, somebody is dead. Somebody is born, we feel happy. Somebody is dead, we feel unhappy. This is Gadasuna Gadasumscha. Gadasuna Gadasumscha. The only person who smiled after Mahabharata war was Krishna. He stood there and smiled after the whole thing. So you can see there a realized state and the conditioned state. Everyone else was crying and lamenting about everything, what was going on. Krishna is standing there and smiling after the war. At least that part is over, is finished now. That's the way he's saying that. Gadasuna gadam sumscha nanishochandi panditaha. Learned person will never ever lament about these things, coming and going. Coming and going is body, not you. The soul is no coming, no going either. Body is coming, body is going. And similarly, so many bodies have come and gone and many bodies will come and go in the future. So that is why he said there, that the that is why Krishna says to Arjuna at that point that you have the question you have asked me is not very logical. So and now Krishna says to Uddhava, the same yogam, vibhuti yogam, everything is yoga for Krishna. Why is this yogam? It's all linking towards Krishna. Therefore it is yogam. So that vibhuti yogam, what I have spoken to Arjuna, I'll speak to you now. He says, Ahamal Uddhavamisham Bhudanam Sukhrati Ishwaram Aham Sarvani Bhudani Tesham Stityut Bhavapyayaham. Important verses, Krishna first makes clear who he is. Because he is not saying to us, look at me, my vibhuti, just don't believe me because just I'm telling you that, I'm telling you that you have to accept it. No. First understand me who I am. Aham Atma Uddhava Isham Bhudanam Sukhrati Ishwaram. I am the soul of everyone. This is Krishna's greatest vibhuti. Of all opulences, Krishna's greatest opulence is this, that he is the soul of everybody. Remember that. Huh? That in the, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see in that Vibhuti Yogam, of all the Vibhutis, my greatest Vibhuti is the, I am the soul of everyone. So that is the greatest Vibhuti. That same thing Krishna starts here. Aha Alpa Uddhava Amisham Bhudanam Sukhrudishwaram. I am the soul of everyone, first thing. Then, I am the friend of everyone, Sukhrut. Sukhrut and protection. Ishwara, controller. Controller of everyone. And Aham Sarvani Bhudani. I am present in everyone and I am the cause of their sthiti, ulpati, destruction. In other words, sthiti means the way they are living in this world. Because I am there, they are there. And because I am there, they have come to this world in the body. Because I am there, they have to leave the body. Why we should study Vibhuti Yogam is, if you study this Vibhuti Yogam very well, you will never ask this question, what is my minute independence? We are always asked, everybody want to know that, isn't it? How much free will do I have? You have no free will. Everything is, Krishna is running the show from beginning to end. This misunderstanding, free will we talk about, it is some kind of illusion it is. From an absolute level, there is no free will. If you have accepted Bhagavad Gita in total and Srimad Bhagavatam, all we have to do is only one thing. Let Krishna do what he wants to do through me, through this body, and whatever happens, let it happen. If you can leave it like that, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. Till that happens, this free will keep on coming up and keep asking this question. What will? But Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has this one important point to tell us. In other words, what does that mean? Free will, this question is coming from ahankara, false ego. That's where it's coming from. Ahankaram inside, not the gross ahankaram we are talking about. That ahankaram, jiva's nature. Jiva, by the very nature, is identity of jiva. Kshara-purusha is called in the Bhagavad Gita. We will discuss this. 15th chapter in Bhagavad Gita is an important chapter. When we discuss that, you will see in what stage every one of us are executing spiritual life. Krishna is saying there that when one is beginning his spiritual life, he is with ahankaram inside, with false ego inside, he starts his spiritual life, including the sadhana, what he is doing. He is chanting the 16 rounds with full ego inside, isn't it? He is thinking, I am doing it. That itself is ego. So that ahankaram inside is doing the sadhana. That false ego inside is doing the sadhana. And ahankaram, the false ego, is also expecting the results from the sadhana. Because proper sadhana will not expect results. If the proper sadhana is done, because sadhana, as we say, we chant the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshashtakam, isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has put certain requirements. You can chant the holy name under these circumstances. If you do that, the result is guaranteed. But if you do that without ignoring all that, the result is not guaranteed. What does Krishna Mahaprabhu say there? He says there, isn't it? What does he say? Trinaravi. Trinaravi shunijena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. Isn't it? Trinaravi shunijena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. This amanina amanadena is this. Ahankaram. Inside. So unless that ahankaram has gone away from inside, even our sadhana is not perfect. With the sadhana we perform is not, is ahankaram is doing it inside. The jiva inside has this ahankaram inside. And ahankaram is dictating everything. We should chant so many rounds today. We will say that we should do this much kind of deity. I am doing the deity worship. I am doing the sadhana. I am doing. Everything I am. I am, this is a string attached to it, all in everything, isn't it? So, till the ahankaram goes away, even sadhana is not perfect. So, that is why he says here that Krishna is saying to Uddhava that way, if you see, that my position in respect of all these things, everything is happening through me. If it comes to that, your sadhana is also perfect. Your sadhana is also perfect. That is why everywhere Krishna is insisting this in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, while he says to Arjuna, Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashritaya dandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karmacha ghilam. Krishna says there, Jaramarana mokshaya, one who wants to free oneself from the old age and death and come to the platform of eternity, mama ashritaya dandiye, he should take my shelter first. After that comes all the sadhana later. So shelter and surrender is important in spiritual life. Doesn't matter jnani, yogi or devotee. But the shelter is that makes him spiritual. Not amount of work he has done in his life, karma, whatever he has done. Some people say that I have to do so much in spiritual life. I have done so much devotional service. And still I have got a lot of devotional service to do. This is all ignorant statements. I have done so much devotional service, so many years. Sometimes you will see in the internet devotees writing all these things. I have done 30 years of devotional service. Now I will be doing another 30 years devotional service somewhere else, this temple, that temple. That is not devotional service, that is ahankara service it was. It becomes only devotional service when ahankaram is not there. When false ego is doing the service, what devotional service is that? So that's why we have to declare to the world all the time, I've done so much devotional service. So this is why before doing this service also we should think, who is doing the service? Who is doing this service? Is me doing or Ahankaram doing this? So to make all these things very clear, Krishna will repeat this in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in many places, that I am there, present in everyone. It's me who is present there. And what does Krishna says? Aha alpa uddhava amisham. Uddhava, everyone's soul is me. Bhutanam suhrdishwaraha. That it's me who is present inside everyone, is their friend, their controller, and suhrd and ishwara, both. I'm their friend if they want me as a friend, and I am their controller whether they want it or not. This is how it is. Whether you like it or not, I am their controller. But I am their friend if they want me to be their friend. These statements you have to link with Bhagavad Gita. What did Krishna say? Udhareda alpana almanam almanam avasadayed almanyayu almano bhandu almayiva aribura almanaham. That I am their friend, I am their enemy. Depending on how they see me. If they take me as their friend, I am their friend. But if they take me as their enemy, I am their enemy. Completely based on your mind. Not from Krishna's side, no enmity or friendship. How you take it, Krishna. That is the question. This is why in spiritual realization and understanding of Krishna is important before we take to spiritual life seriously. That's why this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam will open up our eyes and make us understand what is Krishna. We talk about Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And we go to the temple and say, I went and see Krishna and came back home. We'll say like this. That is not seeing Krishna. Otherwise, if that's the case, this Vibhuti Yogam was not necessary to be spoken. Temple is there only to help us in our effort in realizing it's also a part of the process. That's all. It is not the whole process. It is not the whole process. The process is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the process. That is where the knowledge is. That is where we have to take the shelter. And automatically, all other things what we need to know in spiritual life is there. Krishna has spoken this to Arjuna, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. All the great acharyas, if you look, they gave importance to Shastram. Did they not? They built temples to help the people, those who want to practice spiritual life, in order to assist them. But temple itself was not the goal of any of the acharyas have gone after that. They first thing, whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, all of them, they propagated Shastram. Including Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa and Sanatana to write the Shastram of the Bhakti. Bhakti Shastram. Is it not? So, no Acharya has at any time rejected knowledge, rejected Shastram. They gave importance to temples, temple worship, secondary things. Secondary things. In order to help to realize this knowledge in the Shastram. But Shastram was given the priority over everything else. Otherwise, there is no hope in spiritual life. There is no hope in spiritual life. That's why, aham alma uddhava amisham bhudanam sukhrati ishwaraha aham sarvani bhudani tesham stityud bhava peyaham. In all sarvani bhudani, in all living entities, tesham sthiti ulbhavam and bhava apeyam. Raksha ulbhavam nasham. Isn't it? Sthiti ulbhavam. Sthiti means they are in me, Krishna says. They are in me. All. When, what does it mean when Krishna says they are in me? They are existing in me. In other words, if I am not present inside them, they cannot exist. Because He is there, we are existing. Isn't it? Because Krishna is there in us, we are existing. Otherwise, we won't be existing. Suppose I say to Krishna, Krishna, you stay away from me for some time. Let me manage myself. That is our mentality, isn't it? To manage myself. I am also a soul, separately from you, I have nothing to do with you. You stay away from me. Let me do my business. Why are you bothering me? He says, no, that's not possible. I am there. I am there. You can stay there with me if you want. That is Krishna's attitude. You can take note of me or you can ignore me, whichever way you like it. That's your choice. But fact is, the very creation itself is, Krishna is saying here, tesham sthiti ulbhavam and vayam, avayam. Everything is, vayam is in me. It's happening in me. I am the important thing there, not you. In this body, Krishna is the most important thing. It is in Krishna all these things happening. So you can see now, if you simply see Krishna as the deity in the temple, or a person standing there, that is not possible. Then you will see the form and start saying form, form, form. Everything in form will make it. But there is another aspect of Krishna. This is why vadandidattattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdhyade. Bhagavadam says this, isn't it? Vadandidattattvavidam, one who knows tattvam, tattvavid. Yajnanam advayam, advayajnanam. Advayajnanam means what? What is advayajnanam means? In the translation you will see non-dual. Knowledge which is non-dual. What is that non-dual? Brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdhyade. Iti shabdhyade. Use the words very, very, very carefully. Sudha Goswami uses those words. The same tattvam is one, which is advayam, non-dual. There is no duality there. There is only one tattvam. And that same one tattvam, brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti. Different people, in different shabdam, in different sound, they will call it. In different sounds, they will address it. So this Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, this is all shabdam. This is all shabdam it is. Shabdam means a sound, addressing some object. That tattvam is one. Tattvam is one. And the same tattvam is addressed by the transcendentalist, learned people. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. That's all it is. And the same thing Krishna is now saying here, aham sarvani bhudani, in all living entities, tesham sthiti ulbhavam vayam. All these things, their destruction, basically there is only one thing, Krishna exists. Nothing else exists in this whole creation. It is in Krishna all these things are happening. We get our bodies in the background of Krishna. We live in the background of Krishna. We die in the background of Krishna. Isn't it? That is on a bodily level. If you look at it, we body maintains, body stays in the background of Krishna. Body survives in this world in the background of Krishna. And we lose this body, die, and body goes away in the background of Krishna. Isn't it? That's why in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke a number of verses to talk about that background behind everything, which is Krishna. The background behind everything. We must never forget that background. Background is more important. We are not important. When we give importance to ourselves, we forget the background where it is happening. Everything is happening in the background of Krishna. He says here that I am the soul of everyone. I am the relative to that. Suhrat, friend, and everything. And nothing else exists outside that. And I am the cause of their origin, and their sustenance, and their destruction. With this understanding, you should serve Krishna. With this understanding, you should save Krishna. In other words, when you accept that Krishna is present in everyone as the soul, what does that mean? That Krishna is not, is the same Krishna who is present in everyone as the soul. Aparichinnatvam comes. Aparichinnatvam means, there is in the Shastram this word aparichinnatvam. Aparichinnatvam means that we break up things, isn't it, in our mind. We break up. Soul cannot be broken. Soul cannot be broken. So, this advice is for the people who are in a very higher level. Very, very higher level. For them, they will see that truth existing in everyone is the same thing. Truth existing in everyone, and they will worship Him. But everyone is not in that state. This advice, what Krishna has spoken now, is for those who are in the highest state. Who are in the highest state. In other words, where one can completely realize this, that Krishna is the soul of everyone, and Krishna is a friend of everyone, Krishna is the well-wisher of everyone, and sthiti, everything is happening within Krishna. Sthiti, ulpati, vayam, everything is happening in Krishna. That is for the people in the higher level. But everyone will not be in that state, isn't it? But those who are in the middle level and those who are in the lower level, Madhya Adhikari and Kanishtha Adhikari, as they are referred to in the Shastram. And Madhyama Adhikari they call it, sometimes they also call us, this Kanishtha Adhikari is a very interesting word. People don't like it if you tell them. sometimes it's very interesting. When some people, they say, at least call me a Madhyama, he says. Don't call me a Kanishtha, he says. I heard this once or twice in the classes, the guru speaking also in the same way. Don't say I'm a Kanishtha, he says. At least I'm a Madhyama. Now, this Kanishtha, Madhyama and all that is not in an offensive way it is spoken. We shouldn't take it that somebody says to you, Anishtha Kanishtha Adhikari, you shouldn't take it very seriously. That first of all, who is the person who has to make decision whether you are a Kanishtha Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari? It is Krishna, isn't it? If Krishna says to you, you are a Kanishtha Adhikari, it doesn't matter. At least Krishna has accepted you as a Kanishtha Adhikari. That itself is a big success in life. But others will tell you, if he says you are Uttama Adhikari, don't fall into that trap also. Somebody says to you, oh, you are the greatest pure devotee I've ever seen in my life. You are in trouble. You can take it that way, put the wool in the ears, or go away from there. If somebody blaspheming, even if you don't go away, it doesn't matter. But if somebody tells you this, please leave the place straight away. Because that is safer side. So here, Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari is also called, another word is Manda Adhikari. Manda Adhikari means slow to pick up things. Everything slow. It takes time for him. It's not his fault. It takes time. Everybody takes time, their own time. Isn't it? So, it's not spoken in a very ridiculing way. It is only spoken to tell us that in that state, different upasana, different sadhana is prescribed in that state. That is why it's spoken like that. And decision whether we are pure devotee or whether we are Madhyama Adhikari or Uttama Adhikari, all that decision, you just should not think even in our own mind. That is completely left to Krishna. Normally the problem is that when you read Shastram, I'm just saying based on our vasanas, what we do. As soon as you read these three verses about Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, the tendency in all of us is to look at the person sitting next to you. Is he a Uttama Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari? Not yourself. You won't look at yourself. You look at others and start classifying others. So you can see the problem where it ends up. It will all end up in war. Then we have already decided, oh, he's only a Kanishtha Adhikari. What's the point in telling him anything? He's not going to understand. Anyway, whereas I am always Uttama Adhikari. So I can never go wrong in anything what I do. So the modes of nature is always changing in everyone, isn't it? When the modes of nature is changing, you can also change your position, Kanishtadhikari, Uttamadhikari. It's not a certificate given to you. From now, day on, from 1st of July 2011, you are Uttamadhikari. Like they give the certificates. It cannot be given. Because you could be a Uttamadhikari today. Tomorrow you could be in the Kanishtadhikari stage. Uttamadhikari can also fall. And it is on a state of consciousness all these decisions are made. All this. But that is why if you look into the description of Uttamadhikari, have you noticed what it is? Sarva bodheshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavama alpanam bhudani bhagavat yesha savai bhagavadottama. That is the description in the Bhagavatam. First class devotee, isn't it? Sarva bhudeshu yapashyet. He has to see Krishna all the time in all the living entities. Bhagavad bhavam alpana. What else? Bhudani bhagavat yesha. That all living entities, he has to see Krishna's presence in them and their presence in Krishna, which is not easy. Bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Such a person is first class, he says. Whenever he is seeing that, he is in the first class state. Normally, one who has reached that state tend to stay in that state. So just by me declaring that, it won't happen. You won't become Uttamadhikari. If you reach that state, and if you are experiencing that, you can take it, you are in the Uttamadhikari state. But not by getting approval from another 100 people telling me that you are Uttamadhikari. Please accept me as an Uttamadhikari. If I say this, it is the most foolish statement. Uttamadhikari is a state like that. The sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhavabhavamalpana. If that state, if you are in that state, if you are experiencing in that state, you are in the Uttamadhikari state. And Krishna will accept you as Uttamadhikari. Shastram is only to help your own spiritual life, not for judging others. Not for judging others. Similarly, we don't know about other devotees, how their state of consciousness is. Sometimes you can see devotees, they may not hold any positions in this world, but in their heart there is much more purification has happened. So therefore they are more closer to understand the truth better. There are more purifications happen. And that purity you can't measure with a meter of a person's purity. Isn't it? So we'll stop there today. And we'll start after 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay. All glory to Shri Prabhupada.